Tonight, the 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. That's the New Testament, isn't it? Right after 1 Corinthians. Unless you're looking at the Bible backwards or upside down. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want you to see, and we're talking about prophecy, and I was reading a lot on prophecy and considering current events. And again, you don't have to spend as much time as most people do reading the news of the day and to know what's going on in our world. You can listen to 5 minutes of news on any radio station you choose, liberal, conservative, doesn't matter which one it is. Just remember that they're selling you a product, and you put that into context, but it doesn't take you long to figure out this world's a mess. And everything that's happening is falling right in line, right in step with what the devil is leading to and what God said this world is going to be. But I want you to see something in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and to help us to keep things. And I just decided when we look at prophecy, I'm going to do everything I can to keep us in focus. Because the easiest thing to do when you get studying prophecy, the first thing people want to do is start with the book of Revelation. That's the last thing you should do. You got to understand a number of things before you ever get to the book of Revelation. And then it's so easy to get sidetracked with things that are of little importance to God. But they're important to us. So we try to make them important to God. But I want to keep our focus on what is important to God. So we've been saying on Sunday morning, the apple of God's eye is Israel. Prophecy was not given to foretell the future. It was given to give us confidence in the all-knowing God that we have. To build our faith in Him. And folks approaching end times and folks approaching things that were prophesied about had no idea that they were approaching. Then when it happened, they look back and they say, well, this is what God said it was going to be. But we try to twist that around so that we can know how to do this or that. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, I'm just praying that we can keep our focus on things right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll let you stay seated because we're going to read a little bit of lengthy scripture here. Beginning in verse number 12, I'm reading a longer section so you can see the prophetic nature of this scripture we're going to look at tonight. And I won't spend a lot of time talking about the background, but there's one scripture I want to make sure that we don't take it out of context like we usually do when we look at it and put it in its proper context as far as biblical prophecy. In verse number 12 of chapter 3, it says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech or boldness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face when the children of Israel could not steadfastly look upon the end, to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And by the way, verse number 16 is all of the book of Revelation in one verse. There it is right there. And now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Again, we understand what liberty is. It's not the freedom to do what we want to do, but it's freedom with responsibility, accountability to God. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, he's talking here about the blindness of Israel and God sending light to the Gentiles. as Israel rejected their God. Jesus spoke often in parables, and his disciples came to him in Matthew chapter 13, where he began speaking in parables in the Gospel of Matthew, and said, "Why are you speaking to us in parables?" And he explained to them, "Because the people of Israel are blind and they're hearing, but they're not hearing. They're seeing, but they're not seeing. And therefore I speak in parables," and he quoted from the book of Isaiah, which Paul, in a sense, is quoting again from Isaiah, that blindness in part has happened to the nation of Israel because of their rejection of the Messiah. And those are prophetic words that the disciples certainly didn't understand. Jesus was very clearly teaching them, and after the fact they began to understand as they saw the full rejection of the Messiah by the Israelites. But we go on in chapter number 4. When you study the Bible, don't be limited by the chapter divisions. The thought continues into chapter number 4. Now, can I put this out of the way, Jeff? Okay. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Now, Paul here is, of course, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. He's preaching primarily to the Gentiles, so his heart is still with the nation of Israel. He's preaching the gospel, bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." But notice this, again, speaking to Gentiles now. "But if our gospel," the gospel Paul's preaching to all men, including Jew and Gentile, focusing on the Gentile world now as the Jews have rejected, "if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." There's that title. He's got it in reverse, or a different order than we're used to seeing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, just opposite order we're used to seeing it. The Lord, the supreme ruler, Jesus, the God-man name, Jehovah is salvation, and Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. "And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake." I want to talk to you about spiritual blindness tonight in verse number 4. And again, these verses are, we use them usually, and they are certainly applicable to presenting the gospel, but the theme and the emphasis here is a prophetic theme. And I want to read that whole text so you could kind of get the sense of that as we talk tonight about spiritual blindness. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to gather together as a church, to openly pray and seek you, to take the Word of God and read it collectively, to go out from this place and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ who saved us, and the Lord who's coming back again. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ because of the freedom that we have to proclaim and to study your Word. And God, I pray that you would forgive us for taking that for granted. And even when we just casually glance around our world today and realize the treasures that we hold in our hand, and we've been commanded to distribute those treasures and to share your good news with the world, and yet we become so busy and so self-centered in our lives. God, forgive me. I think of folks that are running through my mind right now that I failed to share the gospel with when maybe I should have pleaded. Maybe I should have said something to point them to Christ. God, I pray that you would help us to see the day that we're living in and the responsibility we have in this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Spiritual blindness. We understand from our text in verse number 4 that Satan has blinded the eyes of those which are lost. And my first point is simply this, and we're going to go to a couple of places in other places in Scripture to help you to see the direction a little clearer what I want to convey this evening. The first thing, if you're jotting things down, which I encourage you to do, jot this down. Satan blinds us to the truth. Satan blinds us to the truth. There's never been a day in America that's been more evident than today, where everybody's got their truth. This is my truth. What's your truth? We even use that terminology. There's only one truth, and that's Jesus. There's only one source of truth, and that's the Word of God, the record of God. The God of this world, He's called. The devil himself. He is the father of all what? Lies. He's a liar from the beginning. And He is the father of lies. He blinds the minds of lost men so that they cannot see the truth. And that, you know, you understand that. God helped me with this a long time ago when someone was asking about certain convictions that we have and certain things that we do in our church and the difference between this religion and that religion. And I thought, you know, there's no sense in arguing or even trying to explain biblical convictions to a lost person. They're blind. That's like explaining the colors of a rainbow to a blind person. They can't see. They don't even know what a rainbow is. They wouldn't know one color from the other. There's no sense in arguing our convictions. There's no sense in debating morality. There's no sense in debating our political stands or even our doctrine to a lost man. They're blind. They can't understand. They can't comprehend. We're wasting our breath trying to talk to them about those things. And we see the lies of the devil promoted on every level in our culture today. And again, never in my childhood would I have dreamt the things that are being pushed and promoted on young people today. That could not happen in America. But there's no sense, and the devil's got all these devices, and the lost person is completely blind to the truth. They couldn't see it if we stuck their face in it, because they're blind. You can't read it by Braille. You can't understand. They couldn't possibly get it. And I know it's a popular thing, and maybe I'll stir up your emotions here a little bit by saying this. There ain't no draining of the swamp today. We might have scraped some of the scum off in a couple of years, but there ain't no draining the swamp. When you drain it, you're going to find out there's a number of artesian wells in that thing that just keep filling up faster than you could ever drain it. Hello? They're called the devil's lies. They're promoted in every corner of our life today. From our education system that trains our children from before they can talk that there is no God. That you are an accident of chance. Some kind of a freak thing that just happened. That just evolved. And there's no God. The education system, the media today, entertainment, what's called the news today, and even religion, for the most part, is refilling the swamp, if you want to call it that, if you want to use the worldly terminology. That's refilling the swamp faster than you and I could ever drain it. We live in a world of darkness, of blindness. And you know, we ought to realize that blind people will always be blind. There ain't nothing you can do about that. You can't change that. The world is being prepared for the Antichrist. And there's something you ought to think about. The lines today are being drawn before the second coming. This is a part of the world being prepared for the rise of the Antichrist. The lines are clearly being drawn. And there's hatred, sad to say, on both sides. God's people even said, well, push God with us, ship them all off and pull the plug out of the boat in the middle of the ocean. Let's just blast them all. And the hatred from both sides, if we're not careful, we're contributing to that by trying to convince a blind person, debating the colors between black and white to a blind person. They can't see. They can't understand. The only cure for the blindness of the devil is Satan blinds men to the truth. There's only one cure to the blindness that the devil causes. And I'm talking about the devil's blindness. I'm going to show you something else here in a little bit when we talk about prophecy. What's the one cure for blindness? Verse number 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind. Not their eyes, but their minds. They can't see the truth. They can't see the reality until they see the Christ of the gospel. The only thing that will help the blindness of our day today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trying to debate different shades of color and different things that are going on, we're wasting our breath, we're wasting our time, and we're missing the message that God wants us to bring to the whole world. Only the gospel will cure man of their blindness. What I suggest we learn to do is learn to fall on our knees with our face in the book instead of in the Facebook. We say, I don't use Facebook. That don't make you any more spiritual, all right? I don't know whatever media you use. But whatever it is, you ought to get out of it and get in this book more often. And get on your face before God and get a hold of God. And then get up from your knees and tell the world of a Jesus who can save whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And until we're doing that, we're doing nothing but adding to the darkness and the blindness of our world today. We're making the divisiveness of the devil more strong and adding fuel to the flames of hatred and anger in our world today. The only cure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And telling folks that Jesus will save them if they will come to them. Satan blinds to the truth. But then I want you to see this. In fact, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I'll say that ahead of time so you have time to find it. All right? It's a few pages back. Page number 1611 in my Bible. If that means anything to you, probably doesn't. But right after 1 Thessalonians. You'll find that eventually before the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, if that helps any. The day is soon approaching that God talks about here. Now, I want you to see something here. Not only is Satan blind to the truth. Now, this is going to be hard for you to see until we read the text, but I want you to get this. You think Satan has blinding power. You wait till God blinds men to the truth. And I want to look at, in our text here, how God blinds to the truth. Right now, people are turning their back on God, but God's going to send a darkness, a blindness, much stronger than the devil's blindness. And we ought to understand this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and of course, these books are written about the second coming. They're eschatological books. I ain't going to try to say that word again. If you missed it the first time, you missed it, all right? They're books about the second coming. I remember in Bible college, somebody said, can you show me a place in the Bible where God instructs us about the rapture, the second coming of Christ? Of course, you know the word rapture is not in the Bible. It depends on how you want to define that word. Or how you want to describe that word, or what exactly you're looking for, because I see it twice in our text we're going to read here in a little bit, if you look close enough. And they say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about the second coming. I said, you ever read the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians? That's what they're about. Of course, they're hard books to find. Maybe they never did find them. They are Bible college students training for the ministry. Maybe it'd be good if they read the Bible once in a while. But God blinds us to the truth. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him. You tell me that's not the rapture right there. Our gathering together unto Him, that by definition is what the rapture is. The resurrection, we're gathered together when the trumpet sounds, as He describes also in the books of Thessalonians. But second, verse number 2, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. We're living in the end. The Lord's going to come any time. Well, there's some things that have to take place before the Lord. Before we haven't defined this yet, but most of you understand there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. In fact, the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ, the end times includes a period of over 1,000 years. And all that is included in the end times and the second coming of Christ. But don't be afraid that you've missed it. Don't let anyone trouble you by spirit or word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand, that you missed something. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that end day, will not come, except there come a falling away. And by the way, that word there could rightfully be translated the rapture, the snatching away. I know we usually look at it, most commentaries say, well, that's the apostasy, the snatching away, the catching away. Personally, I believe that's speaking of the rapture, but we won't go into that right now. That and that man of sin be revealed. That's the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And I don't believe he will be revealed immediately after the rapture. I don't believe he will be revealed before the rapture. I know a lot of prophecy teachers can tell you who the Antichrist is. They got it all figured out. And they're making fools of themselves if they ever read their Bible. We're not even going to know after the rapture. Of course, we're going to be gone. But it may be a year or so after the rapture before the Antichrist is revealed to the world. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, sitteth on the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's going to happen halfway through the 7 years of tribulation. Oh, it's mentioned in verse number 4. In verse number 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. You know there's something that's holding him back. For the mystery of iniquity both already work, only he that now letteth will let. The one thing that's restraining the devil from overtaking this earth, from restraining, and John says that there are many antichrists. God's always had someone on call. There are many antichrists. There always has been, there always will be. There's only one thing that's holding the devil back, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. By the way, do you talk to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis? He ought to be somebody that you're very familiar with. He ought to be somebody that you greet every morning and say goodnight to. You ought to talk to him throughout the day. He is the one that's restraining the devil from the works of this world until he be taken out of the way. You know what's going to happen at the rapture? The Holy Spirit indwells us as Christians, and we as Christians are going to be snatched away. And now there's no restraint left because the work of the Holy Spirit is now different. He doesn't work through God's people like he did during the age of the New Testament. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They've rejected the gospel. If you live in America, the gospel's accessible to you. But they've rejected that gospel. And then notice what he says. They rejected it. They've not received the love of the truth that they might be saved in verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. But I'm telling you here, when God blinds people to the truth, that's a whole different story. You think it's bad today that men are blind to the truth? Wait till God blinds their eyes. Now, I'm getting to something here in a little bit, all right? They've made their final rejection of the Lord. And by the way, God, and only God knows this, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his heart shall soon be destroyed, and that without remedy. I believe that's still in the Bible. That verse is more applying to Christians. But we can come to a point where God's no longer going to speak. Instead of speaking to us, he's going to put the blinders on over us. He's done that in part to the nation of Israel. One day he's going to lift those blinders. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, the revealing of Christ to the nation of Israel again. Like, remember Pharaoh in the Old Testament? God hardened his heart. God says, I'm going to use him for an example of what happens when you turn from God. I'm going to make him so blind, he's going to do stupid things. And God did the same to Judas. And even King Saul in the Old Testament, who I personally believe was saved. Others might debate that, and you can be wrong if you want to, but I'm just kidding there. Or Esau, that sought repentance and could not find it. And God sent that blindness. And again, just as the blindness of Satan, the only cure for that blindness is the gospel, there's no cure for this blindness when God blinds us. Once the gospel's been removed, there is no cure for this blindness. Are you with me? Now think of that. And you think of your loved ones, as I've got loved ones. I've got close friends. And the more I see as time goes by, the more distinction in the line of the enemies of God and the followers of God. And think of that hatred and that bitterness that's spewing out to God. And it seems to be increasing. I think of those that you love, that you maybe have tried to share the gospel with. Their only hope is Jesus, and now he's no longer a hope for them. They've rejected for the last time. What is the end coming to them? You see, their only hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now that the Christians have been taken out of this world, those that have heard the gospel, sure, there's going to be thousands, innumerable hosts of people saved during the tribulation, but we're talking about people that have never heard the gospel. And I know Hollywood mixed with the church a little bit and made some popular movies and wrote some pretty good books, entertaining books, but they're just not biblical. They talk about people getting saved. Well, they've rejected the gospel for so long. Oh, now I got saved. Boo-hoo, I saw that. No, you lost your opportunity. God's going to send you a strong delusion, so you're going to believe a lie. And our loved ones that have rejected Christ, when that trumpet sounds, when we're caught up out of this world, God's going to send them a strong delusion. And their hatred, their venom of anger towards God is going to be poured out. You know how we share, we ought to have this in mind when we share the gospel. When you look good at them, you look at them and look at them in the eye and try to share that Christ loved them and died for them and wants to save them, and they reject, take a good look, because you may never see them again. That might be the last image you ever have of them. But then there's one other thing I want to look at, is spiritual blindness. And Satan blinds to the truth, and God blinds to the truth. God's going to send a strong delusion to fulfill his purposes. And those that have rejected Him. God's, the doors, you think of Noah and the ark, the doors were open for anybody to come in. But once those doors were closed, and Noah didn't close those doors, God closed those doors. Once those doors were closed, there was no hope for anybody outside. Think of Noah and his family looking out. Well, there's Aunt Susie out there. There's Uncle George out there. There's no hope for them. And the anger and the hatred and shaking their fists at God and crying out, I not only hate God, but I hate you. And that's our loved ones. As we see the anger and the bitterness and the hatred towards God growing, and we're coming close to the end, but think of what it's going to be like when the end actually comes. When God blinds their eyes. Right now the devil's blinding their eyes, but when God blinds their eyes, and they can no longer be saved. But then there's one other thing that I want us to consider, and I won't turn to these passages of Scripture. They're familiar to you, I'm sure. When we get to heaven, God's going to bless us with a spiritual blindness. He's going to make us blind to some things. So I understand heaven's going to be more beautiful than we can ever understand. We can never describe what we're going to see in heaven, but there is going to be something we ain't going to see in heaven. You know, we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 what we call the judgment seat of Christ. Who is God speaking to, and who is going to stand before Christ? And 2 Corinthians 5, is it 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 5? One of the Corinthians in chapter 5. The judgment seat of Christ. Who's going to be standing before Christ? The saved or the lost? The saved. And we're going to give an account of our life. And more specifically, what we've done with the gospel that Jesus has handed to us. That's why Paul calls it my gospel, our gospel. It's His gospel, but He's given it to you and me to do with it what God commanded us to do. We're stewards of the mysteries of God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, all the works of our flesh will be burned up. And all the things that we did in this life that were important to us, that had no real spiritual significance and weren't done through the Spirit of Christ living in us, they're going to be burnt up where we're not going to remember all those things. You know, sometimes I remember even at my dad's funeral, I heard somebody talk about, oh, he's in that happy fishing land in heaven. I guarantee you he ain't no happy fishing land in heaven. I believe my dad's in heaven because he was saved by Christ. Not because he deserved it or because he wanted it real bad or was a good person, like the world tells us. And those things that were so important to us here on this earth are going to mean absolutely nothing. In fact, we're not going to have a remembrance of them. They're burned up. They're gone. And all the things that we've lived for, the goals in life that had no real spiritual meaning or significance, they're gone. We're blinded to them. And then I think of the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation chapter number 20, where the dead in Christ, or the dead that are in hell, the hell gave up the dead, the sea gave up the dead, all those that have died without Christ. Now we're saved. We've already faced that judgment through the person of Christ. He's taken that judgment upon Himself. We're not going to stand. You know, sometimes we get this silly picture in our mind. I think it's Hollywood Christianity has given to us that we're going to stand before the pearly gates and St. Peter's going to say, well, let's see here, sonny. Is your name written in the book of life? And we're going to be, oh, shocked. We're going to be surprised if we get there. We're going to be surprised at those that God knows who's there. And at the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment, those that are saved are already redeemed. And we're standing behind the throne of God. We're standing with Him. But those that have never trusted Christ as their Savior, our loved one that maybe the last time you saw them, They rejected Christ. After you've been snatched away to heaven, they've grown foul and bitter and hateful toward God and blasphemed the name of God and cursed Him with all manner of cursings, and they rejected everything that even reminds them of God. You're going to see them stand before the throne of God. And the books will be open, and their names not there. And God's going to say, "Depart from me into everlasting fire." They're going to be thrown into hell, into the lake of fire for all eternity that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's in Revelation chapter 20, but in Revelation chapter number 21, we see the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new Jerusalem floating down as a bride adorned for her bridegroom. With the garments white, and God's people rejoicing. And there in Revelation 21, God says, then He will wipe away all tears. I can guarantee you there's going to be a whole lot of tears before Revelation chapter number 21. As we look at our loved ones, or our neighbors, our co-workers, those that God put within our reach with the gospel, their eyes were blinded. We talked about everything except the one thing that can cure their blindness. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to look at us and say, "Why didn't you tell me that? You convinced me to join your political party. You convinced me maybe to join your church or your religion. But you didn't convince me to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm lost for all eternity." And their blood will be upon our hands. Jesus said of Judas in Matthew chapter number 26, the man that betrays Him, the one that turns, it would have been better for him if he had never been born. Think of those that die without Christ. I think that can be said of every one of them. It'd be better that they'd not been born. But God is going to, I believe in chapter 21 of Revelation, when God says He's going to wipe away all tears, the only way He could do that is to blot out the memory of that person. To blind us to the reality. And by the way, when we get to heaven, we're also blinded of our sins. They're gone. We need to learn to be blind to them today, as far as the east is from the west, and blind to everybody else's sins. And all of a sudden, that memory, that person, as far as our recollection, and we get to the end of the book of Revelation, they never existed. We could not go through eternity with that torment that we're going to face at the great white throne judgment of seeing that person that we had the opportunity to share the gospel with cast into the lake of fire. Knowing now what heaven is truly like, and now we dream about it, we think about it, we get a little glimpse of what the Bible says about heaven, but we really can't even begin to comprehend what heaven is. Nor can we begin to comprehend what hell is, but now we fully understand what heaven is and what hell is. And the only way we can enjoy the glory and the joy of heaven is for God to erase that from our, to blind us from that person's very existence. And thank God for His blinding mercies one day. But right now is the day. This is the time that our greatest concern ought to be sharing the gospel with those that are lost. And rather than trying to drain the swamp, let's get people to heaven. Amen? Instead of trying to straighten up the political mess, I must confess my sin. This is Sunday night. My wife and I watched a little bit of the news tonight. Just out of curiosity, I want to see what they're saying about what's going on in Afghanistan. And I've been praying for the last couple of days about Christians that are in that country, knowing that many of them will face martyrdom in just a matter of weeks, if not days, because of their Christian faith. And we talk about all the political situation, we forgot there's a number of Christians over there. And that's what we ought to be most concerned about. The souls of those that are lost, that they're trying to reach, and now they're going to cut them off. The only gospel witness that they have over there is going to be cut off here soon. And yet we sit in ease and comfort, not even knowing what's going on. And by the way, that's what the devil's preparing this world for, to slaughter every Christian. And our loved ones, who they're good people, they're even religious people. I remember years ago, and it shocked me, and after you've been in the ministry for a while, nothing shocks you, but the first year or so we were here, I shared a prayer request with somebody that I met in town that happened to have a mother that came to church here. And I said, oh, I met your children, and I mentioned them for prayer requests because we were witnessing to them, my wife and I were witnessing to them, and were praying for them that they would get saved. And I just shared, pray for these folks because they need to get saved. Boy, we were approached after the service, called everything but a white boy, so to speak. How dare you say that about my child? They're a better Christian than you are. They go to church every Sunday. They do this, and you don't know this about them. But from their own testimony, they don't know the first thing about salvation. And here we're defending lost people instead of sharing the gospel with them. And I can't think of what eternity's, what the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment's going to be for folks that have tried to defend people because they're good people. But if they're lost, they're the enemies of God. And if the rapture comes, God's going to send them a strong delusion. They're going to have as much hatred for the things of God as the most wicked sinner, the most vile person you can imagine. They're going to be in that same category. And the devil's now drawing the lines, preparing us for that end time. And thank God when that comes to a climax, we'll be out of here. As far as the world's concerned, I don't know what we're going to face in America before that time. We could face it in America before that time comes. The direction America's going, it wouldn't surprise me. Well, I'm getting sidetracked here, but I'm longing for a great reunion in heaven with those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. And I want to do everything I can with those within my reach, my kinfolk, my neighbors, my friends, to share the gospel with them before it's eternally too late. I want to remember them for all eternity and not have them forgotten because of their rejection of Christ. What do you think of that? God's blindness in heaven, our spiritual blindness today. The devil's blinded the eyes of the lost people to the truth, and those that reject Christ will be blinded not only by the devil but by God Himself, where they can no longer, and they'll be facing the torture and the anguish and the wrath of God and the 7 years of tribulation, and God's going to send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie, that they'll believe the Antichrist is the Christ because we've never shared with them the gospel. And then when we're in heaven for all eternity, God's going to have to blot their memory out of our mind completely, or we'll never enjoy the presence of God and the joy that awaits us on the other side. Let's do all we can to make sure that reunion's a great reunion in heaven. I hope that you're thinking about someone right now, and all through this message, and really all afternoon that I've been praying about this message, God's been bringing through my mind people that I want to see in heaven. If I don't share the gospel, if they don't get saved, I'll never see them again in all eternity, other than when they're cast into the lake of fire. And they're going to go through unspeakable anguish and turmoil, the great tribulation. And when I think of prophecy, that's where we ought to be focused on, not how we're going to figure out, how are we going to make out in all this? What can we do to prevent this? We can't stop the judgment of God. In fact, the only hope that we have for revival, the only hope we have, and I believe God can send revival, but I don't see it happening because we as Christians are more concerned about figuring out a way to change things instead of sharing the gospel, what we ought to be focused on. The only hope for revival is when we realize that we need to share the love of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ above everything else. What do you think about this situation? It doesn't matter what I think about that. Let me tell you about Jesus. If you got the vaccine, are you going to wear a mask? I don't care about that. I want to tell you about Jesus. Amen? Who'd you vote for? Doesn't matter. You think he really won the election? You think, boy, the news this week. Do you think that? I don't care about that. One thing I do care about is where you're going to spend eternity. And all if we can get our focus right, then and only then would God maybe. In fact, I'm convinced of this. The only, and I'll get to this eventually. America is not only one nation under God, we're just a Gentile nation. That's all America is. We're a Gentile nation. You see in prophecy where all the Gentile nations are going to line up against Israel one day. We're just another one of those. God has spared America and raised up America for a very short time in the history of Gentile nations because America was known for preaching the gospel. What's America known for today? They're known for a lot of things, and way down on the list, if it's even on the list at all, is for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some folks say, well, we need to spread democracy. We need to spread freedom. No, we need to spread the gospel. And we need to get focused back on what God says. Right? That's the only hope there ever was for America. God raised us up for that purpose. That doesn't mean everybody in America was Christian, but God gave us an opportunity in the Philadelphian age to be the gospel lighthouse of the world to Gentile nations. The time of the Gentiles is about over. And we're just another one of those nations that line up. I'm going to give it away. It'll line up against Israel in the end times. You can see things aligning right now. And I encourage you. And Brother Hiltabiddle can do a whole lot better explaining this than I can. But I agree with him completely. There's no question in my mind that God's attention's on the nation of Israel, not on America. And we want prophecy to center around us. You realize how short of a time span America has been? This stuff going on in Afghanistan, we thought we've been over there 20 years. We heard today that 1,500 Americans have died over there. That's an innumerable host of Afghanians that have died over there, by the way. But they don't matter because they're not Americans. We thought we were going to solve this thing within 20 years. That thing's been going on for 4,000 years. And it ain't going to end till Jesus comes. We can go over there and try to send peace. It ain't going to happen. And we can debate and argue and say, well, this president did this. And one thing I am glad that there's a Democratic president in office so the media doesn't blame the president for everything that happened over there. Oh, boy. I'm getting into politics. I don't want to do that. We live in a day today where we're so focused on things here. And let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's too late. Because it's coming real soon, and it won't be long, but it's going to be too late. I'm asking you to stand.